Okay, and welcome back. Father Paul Kramer is back with us. We're very honored to have him on a couple times a month as we continue to track the outrageous overthrow of the Roman Catholic Church by the fraud, the Bergoglians, Bergoglio, the Bergoglians, this fake pope. It's pretty grim. You got 1.3, 1.4 billion people whose leadership has now been literally eviscerated and taken away from them. Now they're being ruled, pushed around by New World Order, globalist DEI sorts of LGBTQ, obviously, and they're leaning that way, freaks. Here's something from one of our listeners, Jeffrey Klump. Thank you for this. He says, this just came across my Twitter feed. First of all, welcome back, Father Kramer. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, and it's great to be back.
Thank you. All right. Here's what he sent. Proof, painting of nude Jesus caressing Judas Iscariot hangs on the wall in Pope Francis, Bergoglio, his study. This is a report. An apocryphal painting like that hanging in the Vatican, in the Pope's study. And it says under that, proof, again, a painting of nude Jesus, same thing. So there's two alleged proofs of it. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. None of this would surprise me. Depravity everywhere. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I would have to verify it myself before I could really comment.
Right.
Is this an actual fact or is it not? I've got to be able to verify it.
Again, they're just anecdotal claims of proof. So I'm sure Jeffrey will look into this and keep us up to date. Hey, the point is, with the blessing of same-sex marriages, nothing would surprise me. I'm not a Catholic. I just watch these things. And once they start to rot, they rot from the top down. And it's rotting. That's for damn sure. Okay. What can we look at this moment in time in terms of any activism, any waking up of the rank and file in the church to oppose the frauds who have taken over the Vatican and co-opted the entire religion? What's the current status of any potential revolution, rebellion, or uprising, which we definitely need to see happen?
We're going to see that happen. When the Bergoglians make their move against the Mass, which is to say, when they will replace the Mass with something that is not a Mass, then those who are Catholic, who have not just the Catholic in name, but those who have an understanding of the Catholic faith,
right,
will understand that this man is an alien. Outside of the Catholic Church, he is in no way in communion. In no way is he in communion with the Catholic faith and with the Catholic Church. Then they will finally, the penny will drop, the connection will be made, and they will understand that this man is not of the Catholic Church at all, and he's not the Pope. Because he's not the Pope, they don't have to listen to him. They don't have to show him the respect that you would show to the Vicar of Christ, the Pope. Bergoglio right. himself has rejected the title Vicar of Christ. He doesn't want to be called Vicar of Christ.
He actually made a public statement to that effect, huh?
He said it's a historic. He relegated it to history. It's a historical title. It doesn't refer to himself. And I have to agree with him. It does not refer to himself, because he's not a true pope.
No.
So what we're going to see, we're going to see the visible separation between the Bergoglian synodal church and the Catholic Church, what remains of the Catholic Church, because what remains will be a remnant church for a time. The church will be restored eventually, but for the time being, during this time of persecution from within, with the infiltration, Freemasonry has gained a stranglehold of the key positions at the Vatican, and they have their own man now, their own man, Bergoglio, who is the imposter pope. They are making their final move to stamp out Catholicism and replace it with a new religion, a new religion that will have no fixed dogmas of faith. The Catholic faith is founded on the teaching of the apostles, and therefore we have the Apostles' Creed, the Articles of Faith, and all that the Church has defined regarding faith comes from the Apostles' Creed. It's just what is implicitly contained there is simply explained and further defined to make to bring into clearer focus what those original Articles of Faith mean. They are going to, of course, replace that entirely with a new doctrine that is entirely incompatible with the apostolic teaching. And what I forgot the name of the bishop, but there was a German bishop at the synod last October, even went so far as to say that we've got to get rid of apostolic tradition. Bergoglio himself does not agree with the most fundamental basic teachings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The man is not a Christian. If you take issue with the most basic teaching of Jesus Christ, how could you call yourself a Christian? Well, you can't. And when this happens, that when the Mass is abolished, then there are some in the church who will finally understand that this is a different church that Bergoglio is creating.
Oh, it's yes. It's a different church.
And then you're going to have two churches.
Okay. Go ahead. I want to hear this. We're going to have two churches. What's going on here is apocryphal. It's horrible. So we'll have two churches. Will they have different names? How are they going to separate themselves? What's your guess?
This is going to be the confusion. They will call them Bergoglio's church, the synodal church, will call itself the Catholic Church. It's going to still claim to be the Catholic Church. Completely changed. They're just saying it's reformed. They will just say that it's been reformed. But it will be an inversion of everything that is Catholic, of everything that is Christian. Bergoglio goes beyond the inversion that took place at the Reformation. Even the Protestant reformers were appalled at the total degeneration of morals that took place with their religious revolution. And that is to be expected. You have the apostolic teaching, the coming from Jesus Christ himself through the apostles. Jesus Christ made the command of that we must love our neighbor as ourself. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, commandments are law. They're not counsels. They're not advice. They're not ideals that we should strive for. Jesus Christ says he has given commandments for us, and commandments are laws that we must obey. And he says in the gospel, you will be judged according to your works. And he will, on the day of judgment, he will separate the good from the evil, like as separating the sheep from the goats, for the sheep from the goats. And to the sheep, he will say, enter into the kingdom prepared for all eternity. And to the goats, to those who are on his left side, those on his right side, enter the you blessed of my Father into the kingdom of heaven. To those on his left side, the goats, he will say, depart from me into the fires of hell. Because I was hungry, you gave me not to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me not to drink. I was naked, you gave me nothing. You did not clothe me, etc. He says, you will be judged according to your works. But the reformers created a new religion that said, all you have to do is believe. If you believe, you don't have to worry about repenting of your sins. You just have to believe that you're going to be saved. And with that, the morality in Northern Europe completely collapsed. And the reformers themselves were taken by surprise that this ghastly effect of their own revolution had taken place. Bergoglio takes it a step further. Not even Martin Luther and the other reformers, none of them made any allowance for sodomy, for homosexuality. Even after the Reformation in the Protestant countries, they still had sodomy laws. Sodomy was outlawed. People would go to prison for that. But Bergoglio is saying that the African countries where the bishops have stated their refusal to bless homosexual unions, Bergoglio's response is to exhort them to try to influence their society and their governments to be more accepting toward homosexuality. This is the total corruption of morals. The Vatican today represents the total corruption of morals.
How about this, Father Kramer, the total destruction of morals, not just corruption. They're just cleaning the board.
Yes. And the total destruction of faith. Bergoglio himself Bergoglio himself has said even atheists can be saved. But Jesus Christ made it very clear that the first and foremost thing that we must do is believe in God. We can't love God and obey his commands if we don't even believe he exists. We must believe. That is the first law, is that we must believe in God. We must believe in what God has revealed, and we must believe that he exists. That even the most uneducated heathen tribesman out in the rainforest, right, if he's going to be saved, the Apostle Paul says it is that they must believe, and they must believe in God and that he rewards the good. We have to at least believe that if we are so totally ignorant, we've never even heard the name Jesus Christ, we live out in some forest somewhere and living as cavemen and totally cut off from civilization.
Got it. Yeah.
Still required. God will give the grace and we will understand, yes, that there is a God and he rewards and punishes. But Bergoglio's religion gets rid of even this the law of belief. There is no law of belief. Mm-hmm. Bergoglio's religion is do what you think is right. You follow your own conscience. It is not as if God has not promulgated his law, as if Moses coming down from Mount Sinai with the commandments, as if that's just mythology and we don't have to pay attention to it. The law of God, it comes from within, comes from our heart. We understand, we try to understand according to our own conscience what God expects of us. We don't have to listen to the voice of God. We listen to our own voice and do what we think is right. And that's all we have to do, according to Bergoglio, to be saved, to do what we think is right, even if we don't believe in God. This is a total corruption of religion. It's a total destruction of religion.
How can you
speak of religion when there's no faith?
Well, that's what they're doing. You're right. They're cutting the faith aspect out. They're trying to, anyway. It's sickening. All right. Here's when the Mass is replaced, when they get rid of the Mass, all right, will the replacement be the abomination of desolation that the Bible describes? Will the replacement of the Mass be by the end of this year? And will this be the beginning of one of the prophecies of Daniel, where he says, quote, the sacrifice will be taken away for 1,265 days? Just some thoughts. So will it be the abomination of desolation, this new Mass, or the replacement Mass?
We will have to wait and see what comes to replace the Mass before I will have to see what comes after this, after the Mass is abolished, before I can really answer that question, because things have been happening in stages. And we know Scripture itself defines what will be that abomination of desolation. Uh-huh. And that is when the man of sin, the Antichrist, will place himself in the temple to be worshipped as God. That's the abomination of desolation. That is going to be the final culmination of all the abominations. And what is taking place is by stages is leading up to that. The replacement of the true Roman liturgy, the Mass of the true Mass of the ages, to be replaced by a new bastardized rite, which was accomplished by Paul VI. By stages, this is leading up gradually to the total abolition of the Mass. When they will outlaw the Mass, there will be some abominable ceremony that will replace it. That may itself be an intermediary stage leading to that ultimate abomination, which is the Antichrist placing himself in the temple to be worshipped as a god. So, will we see the Antichrist in our days? I can't answer that. Would the grace of God prevent that from happening in our days? Perhaps, but I don't know. We have to wait and see if the Antichrist will arrive on the scene and begin his rule of evil for 3.5 years, or will that be take place? Or will the consecration of Russia by a true Roman pontiff, a true pope, together with the bishops, bring upon the world the grace of the restoration of religion, through the conversion of Russia, and Russia as the instrument in the hand of God to Christianize the world and to restore faith in the formerly Christian nations? Will that take place in our days? I believe so. St. Pio of Petrosino, that's known during most of the 20th century as Padre Pio. So people who call him Saint Padre Pio, his official name is Saint Pio of Pietrelcina.
Right.
He spoke of the time of that triumph when Our Lady of Fatima said, "In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Pope will consecrate Russia to me. Russia will be converted, and peace will be given to the world." He did say when he was asked. This was in, I think, about 1962. Will we live to see the triumph? Mm-hmm. And he said to these people, "I won't live to see it. You won't live to see it." And he pointed to some children about 10 years old who were playing, and he says, "But they will see it." So they would live to the day of to see the day of triumph. And that was 1962. They were about 10 years old. They were born in 1952, around 1952, these children were born. And he's saying, people of that generation born in 1952, they will see the triumph. So this leads me to believe that before the Antichrist can come and set up his rule and rule for 3.5 years, unless that happens right away, and if the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is the actual triumph over the Antichrist, that's not impossible. That could be. Or it could be that that triumph will postpone the rule of Antichrist for, who knows, another 50, 60 years even. Because Our Lady of Fatima said a period of peace will be given to the world. Which will it be? I don't know. A few centuries ago, St. John Eudes spoke of this question of the triumph and of the rule of the reign of the Antichrist and the second coming of Christ at the end of the world. And he said there are three opinions. It's one of those three opinions, but well, we don't know for sure which it is. Will the triumph come before the rule of the Antichrist, the reign of Antichrist? Will it come after the reign of Antichrist? Will the triumph over the Antichrist, will that happen at the end of the world, or will it happen long in advance? There are three opinions. One is that it will be long in advance. Another is that it will be immediate. Another will be that it will be for a shorter duration of time. So we have to wait and see, because when we get to the end times, these things have not been revealed by God. So we don't really know for sure.
Got it. Oh, by the way, Jeffrey sent a link, and I've already forwarded it to you, of proof of the painting of a nude Jesus, as I mentioned. It's there on the wall in his study behind Bergoglio. It's right on the wall there. So you can see that. It's in your email.
I will look at.
Pretty amazing. In fact, if all of you are interested, some of you, I'll put it up in headlines later tonight for you, so you can all take a look at it. Okay, now, there's a little bit more about the subject at hand. Let me go back and pull it up. Okay, there it is. Will the mass replacement occur sometime this year? By 2025. What's your timetable on that? They're pretty brazen. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to pull something off like that this year with a whole new mass. What do you think?
I believe it will be after the end of the synod, but I could be mistaken.
And the synod ends when? I've forgotten. I'm sorry. You did mention that last time. October?
October.
Okay.
Yeah. They will finish the synod in October. And I think once this synod is finished, then the full force of the revolution will be operative.
Got it.
We can see the preparations are being made. The more traditional orders in the church are one by one being suppressed, because they want to create a two-tiered church, but they don't want even the conservative tier to be Catholic.
They're going for broke. Yeah.
So you had like the friars, the Franciscan friars of the Immaculate. They were suppressed some years ago. Now, the fraternity of St. Peter, the fraternity of St. Peter is going to be suppressed, or they're in the process of about to suppress that. The Bergoglians are about to suppress that. They want a somewhat more conservative church that refuses to accept the revolution in its entirety, like the African bishops. They want to throw them a bone. Say, okay, you don't want to bless the homosexual unions. We won't force that on you now. And gradualism, of course. Eventually, they want to impose the revolution on everyone. But for the time being, we'll let the dog have its bone. And
got it. I got it. Yeah, that's a clever way to do it. That's where they always do things most of the time. Yeah.
So you're going to have one church where you still have a male priesthood, no women to be ordained priests. You're going to still have the commandments to be enforced by the church and the sacraments as they've existed in the Catholic Church at least since the Second Vatican Council.
Got it.
And you're going to have this other new church that's going to have entirely bogus fake sacraments. It's going to be a bogus gospel with bogus sacraments. No moral code that is strictly enforced. There is going to be no law of belief. You can believe whatever you like. You're not going to have an infallible pope in Rome who can define by the divine assistance, by the grace of God, to define infallibly what is the faith of the church. You're going to have the doctrines dictated from below, a democratic church that is really about as democratic as North Korea. It's going to be a dictatorial church, but it's going to be based on the communist notion of consensus. You're not going to have a monarchical pontifical church like we had under Pius XII and the popes before him. Nothing like that. That church, and they're going to maintain the pretense that they're the Catholic Church, and they're going to preserve what they call unity, even with the with that secondary church, which is somewhat conservative. The thing is this: no Catholic can be in communion with the Bergoglian counterchurch. It is the inversion of Catholicism. It is the inversion of Christianity. It is the total negation of divine revelation, of the gospel of Christ, the commandments of God. It is a total negation of divine revelation. So it is a negation of religion. There is no way Catholics could be in communion with that abominable entity. So if there is a conservative quasi-church that attempts to remain in some kind of unity with that abominable, faithless, apostate Rome, they will also be outside of the Catholic Church, because there are in the Church the bonds of communion. What makes you a Catholic? What makes you in communion with the Catholic Church? It is the bonds of communion, and the first is faith. To be Catholic, to be in union with the Catholic Church, to be in communion with the Catholic Church, you must profess the Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't profess the Catholic faith, if you don't practice the religion of the Catholic Mass and sacraments, you're not even in the Catholic Church. You're in a different church. You're in a different religion. You remove yourself from the Catholic Church. So if you're going to be in communion, if you're going to be in communion with an apostate, faithless church that negates the commandments of God, that contradicts and negates divine revelation, you can't be if you choose to be in communion with that abominable entity, you leave the Catholic Church by that very act. You can't be in communion with both. You're either with the Catholic Church or you're with the false church. There's no way of being having unity between the two.
I understand.
As Christ himself said that there's no that the devil has nothing with me, and there is no union between Christ and the devil. That is the clear teaching of sacred scripture. There can be no unity between Christ and the devil, and that is the point of corruption that entered the church at Vatican II. This doctrine of ecumenism, which would unite the church, which is the bride of Christ, with iniquity, with faithlessness, unite the children of the light with the children of the sons of darkness. It cannot be. The two repel each other. There can be no unity between good and evil. And that's why Jesus Christ says in the gospel, think not that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but to bring the sword, to bring division. Because on the day of judgment, he's going to separate the good from the evil. And his gospel is the revelation of that divine separation between those who are the followers of God and those who reject God. And there can be no unity between those two.
I don't know how else to view it. You're right on the money, as always. Now, the idea of bringing women in as deaconettes, is that the right term?
They would be called deaconesses, but there are people who call them deaconettes because it's out of contempt for the term itself. It's a well merited contempt because it is against the teaching of the it's against the apostolic tradition. There have never been ordained female deacons in the church.
Do we see that coming at any time in the near future here?
It is absolutely coming. Again, it's the principle of gradualism. Bergoglio said a few years ago, that's not in discussion. Well, not yet. That the church has already pronounced on these matters. Well, but those according to the Bergoglians, there's nothing that cannot be reformed.
Well, he's a classic communist. That's all he is.
Exactly. So this is what we can expect. During the synod, he made it clear that they're not going to even discuss this question, at least not in the synod session last October. No sooner did the synod session end, Bergoglio brings in female bishops from the Anglican Church, and they're discussing these questions in a manner that makes it clear that they're preparing to institute this in their Reformed Church, synodal church. So it is coming. They just don't want to let on to the Catholic world what's coming, because they don't want people to be forewarned about what is going to be unleashed against them.
Yeah, understood. I got it. Here's another question that came in. Will the person who comes after the anti-pope Bergoglio be a valid pope? Will there be a reversion to the way things used to be, or another fake, another anti-pope? His successor, in other words. And I keep watching this. Fernandez, is it? Suspicious kind of a guy. There's a lot of treachery there. So what's happening after this pope checks out his successor? Any chance of a reversion to the way things were, or will the Communist Express continue to roar down the tracks at flank speed?
It is not that easy to predict exactly what will take place, because we don't know how many claimants will be elected. There may be more than one who's elected. It's happened before in church history. Two men get elected, and they're rivals, and they fight it out, until one concedes and the other becomes the pope. Hmm. And this is even in the days when you had men who were Catholic,
right?
Not heretics, but you had Catholic contending to be popes, claiming to be popes. And they and their factions fought it out between themselves.
Right.
So that might happen again. But it will be different this time, because the Bergoglians will elect another apostate, another infidel.
I would think.
The infidel, yes. Who's now running the Vatican.
Well, it's like stacking the Supreme Court. You're going to get a decision that you can pretty well foretell right now. They've taken over everything. How many? All right, the inner mechanism, for people who don't know, of naming a successor to Bergoglio when this happens is it's the, what is it called? I've forgotten even. The bishops or the I guess they're bishops,
the
right?
Cardinals. The cardinal, there's a very well-defined set of laws that has been in the past where the cardinals enter into a conclave, which means that they are closed, they are locked in, separated from the outside world until they make
a decision, right? And that's the colored smoke going up the chimney.
Now Bergoglio may be changing all of these rules and making new conclave rules again for the synodal church, just as everything's going to be the authority is being transferred down even to the laity. It will be possible that we may see in our time, even before Bergoglio dies, there may be new rules that he will enact for the conclave. That will call for the election of the next pope to be decided by electors who will not only not be cardinals, but not even be priests, not even be males, not even lay people and women electing the next man, the next person, I should say.
Well, that would be illegal on its face, according to church rules. It just couldn't happen. I mean, it would be grounds for a worldwide global revolt, wouldn't there, over an improperly, illegally, inappropriately named successor? That should not be allowed to happen. Of course, what's going on now shouldn't be allowed to happen.
It's very predictable what kind of a person they will elect.
Yeah.
And that person they will elect will not be, by any stretch of the imagination, anything close to being a Catholic.
Well, I think you got it, for sure. What is the inside on the health of this guy, Francis, the alleged Francis? What's his health like? How much longer do you think he's got? It's a very difficult thing to even to ask somebody, but what is your sense of it?
Well, I don't think he has much longer to go, but his the exact state of his health, I think that's
secret,
kept
rather sure. Yeah, yeah. All right. In the meantime, the spokespeople who are standing up for the truth are you and Cardinal Vigano, yes? And I couldn't even name another one from that point. But you too, certainly you are at the forefront of speaking truth to this fraud. And so is your friend Vigano. He's speaking a lot of truth.
Archbishop Vigano, there's also, yes? Cardinal Sarah is speaking out from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinal Sarah, the African cardinal, he praised the African bishops for resisting Bergoglio's order to his decree to bless
this.
Homosexual unions.
Yeah, they did too. I forgot how many, but they said no. No, they're the only. It's funny, isn't it? Sad. The Africans bishops were the only ones who really stood up and opposed this whole outrage. They did. But in a way, it's a parallel with South Africa being the only nation who's really calling Israel out for the butchery and outrage that it's perpetrating against the Palestinians in Gaza. South Africa, the country. They've been the only one.
Well, Israel is calling the wrath of God upon itself, unfortunately.
It won't happen soon enough for me. I'm just speaking for myself. It's despicable what's happening.
It's a tragic thing for any nation to be annihilated. But
yes.
Israel is going to Israel is calling down the wrath of God to for its own destruction.
You said everyone saw this. I hope most all of you saw the story yesterday or read about it. They had finally gotten some food into these poor, starving people, and there were a couple, 300 lined up to get the first meal they've had in who knows how long. And the Israeli military, the Jewish army, opened fire on them and slaughtered another over 100 of them, just shredded them. And no criticism at home. This country is so Israel. There are people there who oppose the doctrine and dogma of Netanyahu and his henchmen. But most Israelis seem to be going right along with this. It's incredible to see. These people think that they are truly a cut above every other human. They really do. They believe that. They teach their children that in school, that they're the chosen, and they're taking human lives now, especially women, pregnant women, most of all, children. This butchery that's going on there is they're throwing it in our faces. They control that much of the world. They're just mocking us with it, this butchery that's going on. And no one is standing up to them. They're now beginning to try to airdrop food to the starving Palestinians in Gaza. And I guess they've done that a couple times. I think Jordan, Jordan, I think, was involved with an airdrop. Egypt was also trying to airdrop food in. You got 2 million people there that are potentially going to die. And the world is doing nothing because the world is afraid of Israel's nukes. That's all Israel has to do is drop a hint. If you do this or you do that, you're going to get nuked. No one is holding them accountable, Father Kramer, at all for what they've done and continue to do. Talk doesn't cut it. So the idea of airdropping food is certainly a great relief to hear, at least in the couple of instances that I've heard of it. But this is outrageous, what's going on, by any measure. And I hope you're correct. The wrath of God needs to deal with this because obviously other humans are not going to. Other nations are not going to. They're looking the other way. It's disgusting.
The perverse teaching is in fact in the Talmud. The rabbinical official Jewish religion is not from the sacred scriptures. It's not Moses and the prophets. It's what's written in the Talmud. And there are Jews all over the world, of course, who are decent people and who believe in the teaching of the prophets. But it's proverbial. It's the more fanatical, dogmatic Jews who follow this rabbinical teaching that comes from the Talmud. That is a radical teaching which says that the Gentiles are subhuman, that they are little beasts.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
And Menachem Begin went so far as to speak in this exact vein. I don't remember his exact words at the moment. I quoted in one of my books. I quoted him. Some dehumanizing the rest of humanity, the rest of the human race, as if they're the only ones who the human dignity belongs only to them.
Right. Well, and look what they did at the King David Hotel. Come on. They're murderers. And they're still doing it with impunity.
So this mentality comes straight from the official book of their religion. It is a perverse inversion of the religion of the prophets. And what is most disturbing is that this kind of inversion is now taking place in the Catholic Church, where Bergoglio and his gang of infidels, his gang of antichrists, are inverting the teaching of Christ the same way as the Pharisaic school nearly two millennia ago inverted the teaching of the prophets.
Yeah. Okay, here we are. It's spring in 3 weeks, something like that. March the 1st, we are looking at continuing, escalating war in Ukraine. We know what's coming in Gaza. Those people are going to be driven across the border into the Sinai. In fact, Egypt has already built 1 8-square-mile camp for the refugees, the Palestinians that are going to be driven out. At least that's the idea. That's what the Jews want to do. Drive them out. And I don't know if you knew this. I think you did. Maybe I even mentioned it last time when you were on. But they are Jewish real estate firms in Israel that have already cut up and portioned off and partitioned almost all of the beachfront property of Gaza. And they've drawn up housing lots and lots that can be built on. They're selling beachfront property on the Mediterranean right now to Jewish only buyers. That's the story I saw. It's going on. These people are incredible what they do. To me, and I'm sure to many others. So it's pretty crazy there.
It doesn't surprise me.
No. It's all about greed, all about money, always has been since they were tossed the first time, and the 1,030-plus times since then that nations, states, countries, city-states have thrown them out. They don't get it. They don't know when to stop. And the Biden administration over here, the illegal, fraudulent, talk about a fraud overthrow regime in the Vatican. Look what we have in Washington, D.C., and shame on the American people forever for allowing this to go on there. It's just incredible to me. So, fraud everywhere. That's where you look. And no one's stopping it. No one's stopping it. Talk about moral virtue. Where is it? I don't see it. All right, one final comment tonight. We're just about out of time.
We can, like I said, this is the message of Fatima. We can expect the worst catastrophes will strike when the Bergoglian Church will abolish the Mass, the offering of the sacrifice of the Mass. Because the Mass is the renewal of the one sacrifice that Jesus Christ offered of himself to his Father for the redemption of the human race. By an eternal act of his will, he offered himself. And that is what obtained all the grace that we receive from heaven, is that one act, that redemptive act of Jesus Christ. And that act is renewed on our altars at the celebration of the Mass, the offering of the Holy Sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And with that being abolished, those graces that are obtained through the renewal of that holy sacrifice, of that eternal sacrifice, those graces will be stopped. And that is when all of the catastrophes will strike the world. So when we see this take place, there's going to be famine, there's going to be crop failures, there's going to be pandemics like we've never imagined before. And there's going to be world war, total financial collapse, chaos. There's going to be manipulation of the climate. All of these things are going, one upon the other, are going to be happening in such a manner as it will appear to human beings that we're facing the extinction of the human race, that the end of the world is at hand. And this is something that's going to happen in the very near future. And that is why the only thing we can really do that's meaningful to stop this is to follow the example of the Ninevites, right, when they heard the preaching of the prophet Jonah, who said in 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed, but they did penance and God spared the Ninevites of the destruction.
Got it. Father Kramer, thank you. Always a pleasure, and we always learn things and look forward to your wisdom in a couple of weeks. Talk to you then.
Bye now.
Okay. Good night. And thanks to all of you for your participation, and it is a participatory thing we do here. Back with you Monday night.